Blog Talk Radio.
Anybody wants out, can get out. Okay? This team is going to the playoffs. Okay? This team's going to the playoffs.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs? I just hope we can win a game.
You should understand the man. That's a damn coaching mistake. Right? The kids are playing their tail off, and the coaches are screwing it up.
Well, I don't have to say any more than that, Brent.
No, you certainly don't, Jack. Very honest assessment. I saw
I'm
you.
I'm a man.
You
I'm sorry.
Right off,
and, I'm not. I'm not
a kid. Who's
the kid here? Are you kidding me? That's all I got to say. It makes me want to puke.
Welcome, Earthlings. You have stumbled across The Balance, the only internet radio program that gives you a full balance of all sports. Make sure that you follow us on Twitter at TBalance. You can also find us on Facebook under The Balance. And make sure you send us your comments to TBalance@ymail.com. Right now, here's your host, Tom and Kevin.
Well, welcome to the New Year's Day Blitz. My name's Tom. Right alongside me is $2 bill Josh. Kevin is not with us today, but Josh, how are you doing today?
Doing well, my trust.
Everyone had a good New Year's. All right. Did you do anything exciting there in the New Year's? Dick Clark special, that's a sign that you're getting old. I tell you what, that's one man that never really gets old, let me tell you that. Real quickly, Josh, and if you want to just kind of talk about what we got going on in the show here, I'm going to get our Ustream viewers up and running. But go ahead and talk about that. Well, I take that back. Welcome, Ustream viewers. My name's Tom. Right alongside me here is $2 bill Josh. Josh, Ustream viewers just joined us. So we are glad to have everybody up and running now and up and with us right here on this New Year's Day. Very special show that we have, a four-hour show. Keep in mind, those of you that are listening to us on Blog Talk Radio will only get the first 2 hours. Ustream, you get all 4 hours. So make sure, guys, that if you're on Blog Talk Radio, at some time you get logged on over there on Ustream, and we will, and we do have the link on Facebook, so you can also do it on Facebook as click to the link on Facebook. So, Josh, what do we got going on here in the in the New Year's Eve, New Year's Day Blitz?
Well, tonight, Tim, we're going to cover the four athletes who died, as well as the top sports stories of 2010. And then from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., nothing but bowls.
Nothing but bowls. Some of it might be the toilet bowls, but nothing but bowls, huh?
Nothing but bowls.
That's right. And we are broadcasting nationwide right here on Blog Talk Radio. Very excited to be a part of Blog Talk Radio, our flagship coordinator. They have been great people to work with. We are so glad that they are a part of the balance and what it is that we do. You Ustream viewers, feel free to go to our poll that we have up and running. And basically the poll is the 2000, it's not quite up yet, but we will have it, the 2010 top sports stories in your book, and make sure that you go there and give us your feedback on that. What we're going to do here real quick, we're just going to kind of talk about some of the athletes who have passed away. This is 2010 was a year where we lost a lot of big names in athletes, and one of those athletes most certainly was Bob Feller. And we're gonna run an interview now. If we've got that soundbite ready, we're gonna run an interview with Bob Feller that was I believe that it was aired in 2008, and so we're gonna run that just as soon as we got that. Okay, we do have that interview, so we'll go ahead and go to that interview. And on the other side of that, we'll talk a little bit about the life of Bob Feller, who he is, and the impact that he made on baseball, Josh.
Another opening day. You still get excited on opening day?
Absolutely. It means the birds are back from the south. The ball players are back from Florida and Arizona. The fans are back from wherever they may be. And the grass is getting green. The trees are beginning to bud out. And baseball, of course, is an American game. And we have a lot of good young ball players here in Cleveland. And I hope that they can show that during the regular season.
Of course. Today, this year is the anniversary of your opening day no-hitter, 70 years. What do you remember about that day?
70 years ago in Chicago, it was a Norway Gray Day. Wind was blowing right off of Lake Michigan, off the ice, and off the water. And my sister Marguerite was there. My dad and mother were there from Iowa. And I got into trouble. I had the bases full in the second inning. Struck out a hitter with a 3-2 count. My catcher, Ollie Hemsley, drove in my roommate Jeff Heath in the fourth inning with a triple. Heath had singled, and in the ninth inning I walked a man on purpose, Luke Appling, because he was fouling off a lot of balls. And then the last hitter was Taft Wright. Ray Mack from second base made a great play, knocked the ball down, threw to Hal Trotsky at first, and it was a bang bang play at first base. That was the only no hitter thrown so far on opening day, but someday somebody will do it again. But 70 years have passed since that happened.
True. Are you? Is that the highlight of your career, or the 48 championship, or what?
Well, the 1948 World Championship was the height of my career. My best no-hitter was in Yankee Stadium on April 30th, 1946. The Yankees had a lot better ball club than the White Sox, and that was my best no-hitter. I pitched another one against Detroit in 1951, but my best no-hitter was in Yankee Stadium when we shut the Yankees out. My catcher, Frankie Hayes, hit a home run with one out in the ninth. We won it 1-0, and the ninth inning, I had a pitch to Joe DiMaggio, Charlie Keller, and Tommy Hendrick. Three tough hitters.
I got to ask you, Mr. Feller, I know you're not shy. Were you the hardest thrower ever?
I would not know that. I would say I presume that Walter Johnson was the fastest pitcher in history. He was a one-pitch pitcher. He had no curveball, but he threw from the side. He was a big guy. He was a great hitter and a very great friend of mine. I think Walter Johnson was the fastest pitcher in history.
Well, it's got to be him, you, Nolan Ryan, you think? Is that fair?
That's fair enough. 1, 2, 3. But I had a good curveball, had very good control of it. I used it a lot.
Understood. One thing a lot of people don't know about you, younger people at least, is aside from your love of baseball, is the love of this country and your service in the war. You signed up for the armed service the day after Pearl Harbor. Why'd you do the first major leaguer to do it? Why'd you do it and talk about that?
Well, I was on the way to Chicago to meet our general manager, Cy Slapnick, to sign my contract for 42. I volunteered that day, and Gene Tunney, head of the physical fitness department, world champion boxer, undefeated, was the head of the physical fitness department. He flew out from Washington, and I signed up the next day. Went to War College, went on the board ship Alabama. In fact, I'll be on the battleship Alabama again tomorrow in Mobile Bay. I'm going down for our reunion.
Wow, super.
And there'll be a few of us still around that were on that battleship. The battleship Alabama was the first battleship into Tokyo Bay, followed by the Missouri, where the peace treaty was signed in August 1945.
Well, we appreciate your service, sir. What do you say to young people? We've had some tough times in this country lately. Give a message to people about how great this country is. And
this is a great country. This is a great country. At this present moment, we don't have the leadership. When we had this Eisenhower and Roosevelt and Truman and Ronald Reagan and the generals like Eisenhower and Winston Churchill, I can go on and on and on. We do not have the leadership. I hope we find it before it's too late. I'm not very happy about the situation as it is today.
I see, sir. How about these fans you see out here today? What do you say to them? Well, how do they compare to the fans that you knew back in the old days?
Baseball fans are the greatest fans on earth. They're very, very loyal. If it weren't for the fans, nobody ever heard of me. They're the ones that pay our salaries. We have to depend on the fans. We have great loyal fans here in this area, all over Cleveland fans in northern Ohio and all over Pennsylvania and up New York State. I'm very happy we have so many fans. I saw a lot of them in Arizona during spring training. Again, I want to thank the fans for helping me with my career. If it weren't for them, you'd never heard of me.
Last question for you. I got to ask you about this year's team. What do you see? What's your prediction for our boys this summer this year?
Well, we have a few weak spots. I don't want to go into that right now. We have maybe a little tough for us to hit good left-hand pitching. We have so many left-hand hitters. And the name of it, baseball is a game of pitching. If you got good pitching, you're going to make a good impression. If you've got two or three good pitchers, you're going to be competitive. If you don't have, you're going to have a long summer.
Okay, Bob Feller, one of the greatest pitchers of all time, wouldn't you say? We certainly want to spend some time and talk about the ones that we have lost here in 2010. Again, guys, welcome to The Balance. My name's Tom, and right alongside me is $2 Bill Josh. Joshua, good to have you here on New Year's Day. Good to have you here in The Balance studio. And we're just going to spend the next 4 hours, and the Ustream viewers, we're so glad that you're a part of our show. And also, keep in mind that right after this show is over, you can download for your iPod the full show off of iTunes there. And so very exciting time. Also, make sure that you guys, you can certainly give us a call at any time. Our number to call us is 917-889-8516. We'll have callers throughout the day. We're gonna just really have an exciting time here. We're bringing in 2011 with you, our favorite people. We're just guys that like to hang out and talk about sports, and we just want to spend some time just really reflecting on 2010 a little bit, and the lives that the athletes that led. And as you just heard in the interview, Bob Feller, one of the greatest pitchers of all time, and it's rumored that he has the fastest ball ever pitched. Of course, he was pitching back before they had radar clocks, but he was saying that his average, if they were able to clock it, probably was somewhere around 100 to 102 miles an hour consistently. And that's, you don't see that these days, Josh.
Yep, not too much. Maybe out of the Java Chamberlain, but that's about it.
Okay. So give me your thoughts, Josh, on Bob Feller, his life, the life that he led, and what kind of thoughts do you have? He was born in Van Meter, Iowa. He was a farmer, and he was a World War II hero. He had some great strength and ball speed. The Van Meter, I'm just trying to remember the nickname. So help me out there, Josh.
The Rocket from Van Meter,
maybe. The Rocket from Van Meter. That's right. I always knew $2 Bill Josh had it in him to dig deep into him for some, trivia information. Feller joined the Cleveland Indians without having played one single game in the minors. He spent his entire 18 years with the Indians, being one of the big four Indians pitching rotation of the 1950s, along with Bob Lemon, Early Wine, and Mike Garcia. So go ahead, give us some thoughts on Bob Feller. I know you're a big Red Sox fan and American League guy, so give us some thoughts there on Bob Feller.
Well, first of all, I pitched in the American League, which means he played real baseball.
Well, that's real baseball, huh? So we've got to have a pinch hitter and have the DH rule. I'm sorry, in the American League. Why do you think that's in the American League?
Well, actually, when Feller was pitching, I don't think they had the DH
question. Well, this is true, very true. Anyway, go ahead and give us your thoughts on Bob Feller, his life, and
certainly one of the greatest of all time. In today's society, you want to see, say, and I'm a Red Sox fan, so I'm just going to use Beckett as an example. You want to see the Red Sox say, "Josh Beckett, go join the Army."
No, you're right. You're absolutely right.
Nor do I think the Red Sox would allow That may be the most impressive part about Bob Fella is the fact he went. How much more could he have done had he not spent 4 years in the military?
No, go ahead. I agree with you on that.
So, certainly one of the all-time greats. But moving on, it's okay with Tom. I don't know if we're going to call this the honor roll, the roll call, whatever.
We'll call it the Balance Wall of Fame.
I'd just like to read out loud the names of the sports stars who died in 2010. NBA great Manute Bol died. I never saw Manute Bol play in the NBA. I didn't see him play in Indiana. I thought the team won. Bob Crawford of the Red Wings died. Don Correll, who made passing in the NFL famous, also called Eric Correll, died. Antonio Pettigrew, track and field star, Bill Buzley, Rob Santo, Don Meredith, Harold Conley, another track and field star, Erica Blasberg, who tragically took her own life. She was only 25 years old, played on the LPGA Tour. Wes Santee, another track and field star. Mosi Tapatu, his son still plays in the NFL. Andy Irons, surfing champion, died. Bobby Thompson, the shot heard around the world. I think that's right around the time Tom started following baseball, not just me.
Hey, I tell you what, we do have up and running the On You stream. Go ahead and just click on our poll there. And what we'd like to know, what's the top sports story in 2010? Was it the Butler in the Final Four, Saints in the Super Bowl, Tiger Woods, or James goes to Heat? So we certainly want to hear have you guys' thoughts on that. So just go ahead and log on to Ustream there and click on the poll link, and you should be able to see us. And you should also be able to see us right there on Ustream and of course Blog Talk Radio. We would encourage you to go over to Ustream and search the Balance, and you can find us there. URL, and I'll just give this to you computer geeks, www.ustream.tv/broadcaster/6357309. For those of you on Blog Talk Radio, that'll take you right to our live broadcast right here in the Balance Studio. Of course, on Facebook and so forth, you can also find us. Now, I know we had some other people pass away in 2010. So, Josh, go ahead and kind of give a rundown on some of the top people that died, kind of the lives they led. Obviously, George Steinbrenner was a huge loss.
That's kind of wrong with the Red Sox fan. I don't miss George Steinbrenner.
So. Anyway, go ahead and break that down for us, Josh, and let's kind of reflect a little bit in 2010 on the lives that the great ones led.
Larry Siegfried, who played for the Boston Celtics and won 5 NBA championships, passed away at the age of 71. Bill Cavaretta, who played for the Cubs, passed away at 94. Moreland Olson died. He played for the St. Louis Rams. He's in the Hall of Fame. Ron Kramer, Mel Turpin, Sparky Anderson, who I'm pretty sure Tom saw manage at least one baseball game. Dick McGuire, Edward Valero, a boxer, Jill McDonald, Victoria Draves, a female swimmer, Robin Roberts, another baseball Hall of Famer that I know absolutely nothing about. Juan Antonio Samarnic was well known for the Olympics.
The balance of guard dog is going on.
John Wooden passed away. Willie Davis passed away. He played for the Dodgers. Kenny McKinley, who was a fifth round draft pick out of South Carolina by the Denver Broncos, took his own life tragically. Quentin Daly, Bob Shepard, one of the all-time great PAs for the Yankees. Rob Lytle, Henry Wittenberg, William T. Foster, Dorothy Kamerschick, who played in the Women's Professional Baseball League during World War II. George Blanda, Jose Lima, pitcher, Raymond Parr, who had something to do with the starting out of NASCAR, Jim Bibby, Ernie Harwell, Pat Burns, James Adams, Tampa Bay Bucks, Laurent Fignan, the great bicycle racer, Roy Skinner, Rory Lucas, one of the all-time NBA greats, Jack Tatum, great linebacker for the Oakland Raiders, another
All right, Josh, I apologize. I do want to give all of our listeners the apology. Our mascot, Max the dog, decided that he wanted to bark, so I apologize. I usually have him on the outside of the doors here, but he was being good. So I apologize to the listeners. But like I said, hey, we're just we're just two guys that like to talk about sports, so... Hey, welcome to Real Live Radio. Go ahead, Josh.
And Crippen, who was a swimmer, passed away here in the middle of the swimming. Still not sure what happened. I know that Lawrence is right. One of the first two stars of the Memphis Grizzlies died at 34. Tom Brookshire was a hard-hitting defensive back with Kevin, Philadelphia Eagles. Mike Toler died. He was barely at 500. Dodge Morgan, first American to sail around the world alone, and Stan Jones. Those are just some, not all the sports stars that passed away in the year 2010.
Well, and they'll be greatly missed. I know I missed part of that list, dealing with the Max the dog here. But it just goes to show that, you know, to cherish the time that you have with the great ones, and you made an excellent point there, Josh, that what athletes did back in the day, you don't see do anymore. And I say, let's bring back what athletes used to be like, the personality, the character, more than anything, the character. I mean, the things that we deal with and we talk about here on The Balance is just unreal. I say, let's bring back the character of professional sports, the role model, the leading part of the of what it really means to be a professional athlete. Want to hear your thoughts. Give us your thoughts at 917-889-8516. We'd love to hear from you. So, Josh, we're moving on to the top sports stories of 2010. We've got a long list to go through here, and we want to make sure that we hit all of those that list while we're here, still on the next 1 hour and 36 minutes here on Blog Talk Radio before we shift totally to Ustream. Now, again, we want to encourage you guys to go ahead and go over to Ustream and search The Balance, and you can find us right there, and you should be able to see our smiling faces as we broadcast on Ustream. And you notice I'm not saying Uvision, I'm saying Ustream. That's right. So we certainly encourage you to do that. Again, there should be a link right there on Facebook as well as on the Facebook fan page. So, Josh, real quickly, without further ado, please tell us what you think your thoughts for the top sports stories in 2010. What were they, and let's hear your thoughts on it.
My personal top sports story of 2010 is Jimmy Johnson with his fifth straight. What an accomplishment.
Okay, yeah, it absolutely accomplished. I'll let you go ahead and do that as I update some of the Twitter information here. Go ahead, Josh.
A lot of NASCAR fans complain about it now, but 20 years from now, 30 years from now, when he's done and he hangs up his helmet, people are then all of a sudden going to look back with fondness. amazing how that happens. We complain about it now, but 20 years from now, we'll look back and be like, remember when? Don't you find that amazing, Tony?
I do. Go right ahead, Josh. I apologize. I'm just trying to catch up with everything right here.
Trying to remember what our list is. Back last January, back just about 358 days ago, Alabama beat Texas for the BCS National Championship game. I still say the BCS is a joke, but way to go for the Alabama.
Well, I totally agree with you on that. I think that the BCS is a bunch of BS. excuse my French, but that's just. I mean, we can have a playoffs, and certainly this isn't the day to get into that because we've got way too much to talk about, and that's a different show, a different topic. But we certainly do want to hear your thoughts on everything. And what is your top sports story of 2010? We want to know that. You can go to our Ustream poll and answer the questions that we have there, or just give us a call here, 917-889-8516, and let us know what your choice of the top sports story is.
And then moving on into February, you had, well, Tom looks for the list for us, you had the Colts and Saints in the Super Bowl. I'm a Colts fan, Tom's a Colts fan. I said this before, I'm not going to get into this topic today. I'm going to blame that well squarely on the shoulders of Jim Caldwell. It was an awesome accomplishment by the New Orleans Saints.
Well, here's our list, okay? Our list is Alabama beats Texas in the national championship. Colts-Saints Super Bowl, the Vancouver games, Butler Final Four, Tiger Woods, that blown call by the umpire that kills the perfect game. I'm sure everybody knows about that. Blackhawks win the Stanley Cup, the World Cup. Was around in 2010. Those Lakers, they win another championship. Phil Jackson wins another championship. That's a huge story. LeBron James going to the Heat. What a huge story that was. Bush gives back the Heisman. Vic's comeback. Holiday pitches the second no-hitter in playoff history. Giants win the World Series. You talked about Jimmy Johnson and the UConn Lady Huskies. So those are kind of the top stories of 2010 that we want to talk about right here on the New Year's Day Blitz, January 1st, 2011. Welcome, Ustream viewers. Welcome those that are following us on Twitter under T-Balance. You can jump right in. We do have the chat room open as well. If you want to jump in that way, there's just really no way that anybody can not communicate with us. And again, our phone number is 917-889-8516. And you can get live right on the air. We do have an open line right now, so feel free to give us a call and jump right into the conversation with us. So we're talking about the top sports stories of 2010, and you know, one of the things that we talked about here and is on the poll is the Butler Duke game, and where everybody knows that Duke came up a winner on that, and so just wanted to go to a soundbite on that. Josh, before we go into that. While we're loading that soundbite, can you kind of give me your thoughts on that Butler game and what happened there?
What an amazing run for the Butler Bulldogs. No, nobody picked them to go to the Final Four, especially the championship game. Great coaching job by Brad Stevens, who Butler has held on to at least for now. I don't see that lasting too much longer. Gordon Hayward, Matt Howard, they came up big time after time in the NCAA tournament. So did Sheldon McInerney, and a whole bunch of other Bulldogs played their parts in the tournament. I'm always going to remember I was at work when they made it to the Final Four. I can't remember who they beat in the Elite Eight. That's how big of a moment it was. The other teams other than Duke, because they beat Butler, kind of faded into the background. But I think it's a great story. It's kind of like the NCAA tournament's version of Milan, which, since I'm from Indiana, is a story very dear to my heart. Would have been better had the Bulldogs been able to pull it off, but this is real life, not a Hollywood movie.
I agree. I agree. Well, we do have that soundbite loaded, so we'll go ahead and go to that soundbite on the Butler-Duke game.
Butler and Duke squaring off in Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis. Butler, as Stuart mentioned, in the championship game for the first time. Duke appearing in his 10th title game, 8th time under Coach K. Two campuses somewhat similar. Cameron Indoor, a great old arena. So too Hinkle Fieldhouse. Both student bodies who couldn't make the trip or get a ticket watching their team in their home gym. First half, Willie Beasley. Good hustle from John Shire, HD.
Yeah, outstanding defensive play. He's known offensively, but John Shire is an excellent defensive player. Great hustle taking away a layup by Willie Beasley.
It was a tight game throughout. Butler tried to get Matt Howard going, Digger.
Yeah, he struggled early, missed a couple easy shots, but we'll see what he does at the end of the game when it really counts.
Here is Howard. Brian Zubek gets in there. Howard scored just 1 point, 0 for 4. He was called for the charge against Zoo later in the first half. Nolan Smith kicks it out to John Shire. C the three, B the three. Only one of the night for the senior. Duke up by 4. Next possession, Kyle Singler was just outstanding.
He was. I mean, he's absolutely fantastic. Doesn't have a weakness on the offensive end. His ability to put the ball on the floor was the difference maker in the first half.
Butler needed to find another score, and they found it in the senior off the bench, Avery Jukes. The transfer from Alabama hits 1-3. Then another. He had 10 in the first half. He averages less than 3 points per game. Butler down by 1 at the break. Second half, Ronald Norridge, extraordinary defensive player. Gordon Hayward, Lance Thomas comes in hard with a foul. What'd you think of the call, Digger? Should it have been flagrant?
Should have been flagrant. Black how he hooks his arm right there. You could have called it either way, but they didn't call it. They gave him 2 free throws.
Hayward knocked down both of the free throws as Gordon's mother looks on. Butler down by 1, under 2 minutes to go. Hayward, Howard had snapped nearly an 8-minute field goal drought. The Bulldogs within 3. Ensuing Duke possession, Nolan Smith left it on the rim. Here comes Butler the other way. Shelvin Mack can't get it to go, but Howard hustling gets the offensive rebound. Butler was beating Duke in its own game on the offensive glass. Howard brings him to within 1, under a minute to go. Ensuing Duke possession. Singler, great look. Great all night, but he left it way short, and it goes off of Zubac's foot, and Butler now has a chance to take the lead. Still with under 15 seconds to go. You know, their home court, it's where they filmed Hoosiers. We're going to hit them with the old picket fence. Don't get caught watching the paint dry. Gordon Hayward for the lead, and it wouldn't go, and Zubac grabs the rebound. Now, Zubac's about a 55% free throw shooter. Made the first, missed the second one intentionally. Hayward for the national championship, and it doesn't quite go. Couldn't get the bank and jubilation on the Duke sideline, and you see just how close Butler was to winning the national title. An absolutely heartbreaking conclusion for the Bulldogs in a thrilling championship game. And Cameron Indoor was crazy going nuts in the moments after Duke escaped with a 61-59 victory to capture their 4th national title, 4th for Coach K, 2nd most all-time, trailing only John Wooden with 10. 61-59, closest title game since 1989 when Michigan beat Seton Hall by 1.
All right. We all remember that Dutler. I have such a problem with the English language. We all remember right here in Indianapolis when Butler and Duke went head-to-head, and what a game that was. That was real basketball, and in my opinion, Josh, that was my one of my top stories for 2010. I tell you what, my lovely wife, we want to make sure that we thank her. She is just the most awesome wife that's providing us with coffee this morning. And I love you, Mrs. Marquis, very much. But what a game that Duke and Butler game was. And what a ride that Butler had through the tournament on that. That certainly is my opinion on the top sports story of 2010. So, Josh?
Agreed. It was a good story. I don't know if it was the best story of last year. It might have been had Butler won.
That certainly would have been a storyline.
It'll be on any future editions of Greatest Moments in NCAA history.
It will be. So, I mean, I think that was a great, great story of 2010. What a ride that was. And Butler has talent. They have some great talent there. So let's we want to make sure that we get all of our stories covered here. Let's talk a little bit about we were talking about this earlier. Let's talk a little bit about Alabama beats the national championship game. We're right up here in part two of the show, and those of you that can join us right over here on Ustream will see the full 2-hour bowl special that we got coming up, and we'll get more into that then. But let's talk a little bit about Alabama and they beat Texas in the national championship game.
Yeah, they did. Nick Saban's a heck of a football coach, probably the greatest college football. I don't want to say the greatest yet. He has potential to be the greatest college football coach of all time. That still belongs to Bear Bryant. Sorry, Penn State fans, it's not to overturn him. He's been the head coach 45 years, hasn't won a national title. It takes more than that. 45 years to be the greatest ever. But back to the Alabama-Texas game. I don't know what Tom was doing. I was sitting down eating pizza, drinking some beer, kind of like sports fans do during that game. Had the potential to be a classic. Colt McCoy injured his shoulder in the first quarter. Bad put in Garrett Gilbert. From that point on, it was basically just the Alabama show with Mark Ingram, who won the Heisman Trophy last year. Probably would have won it this year had he not been injured. Trent Richardson, that staunch Alabama defense. That loss kind of took the wind out of Texas sails. They went 5-7 this year. Will Muschamp left to go to be the new coach of Florida. Great hire by my Florida Gators, by the way. It just goes to show that, you know, we as sports fans say, oh, it's just one loss. There's always tomorrow. That's an example of sometimes one loss can destroy a program.
No, I absolutely agree. Go ahead, Josh.
I look for Texas to rebound next year, but for all you Alabama fans, don't worry. You won't have too many 9-3 regular seasons. This year, it's just a blip on the radar. Did you watch the game?
The Texas game? I did watch that last year, and what a game. I don't know. I'm with you. That's just as a perfect example of what's wrong with the BCS game. So we want to hear your thoughts. Give us your thoughts. Give us a call right here on Blog Talk Radio, and we'd love to hear more from you. Also, you can catch us on Ustream, and you can download the show as well. And we've got our chat room open, so feel free to jump in the chat room and chat with us. We'd love to hear from you.
Agreed. Certainly, feel free to call us at 917-889-8516. Want to wish everyone who's just now waking up and joining us for the first time, and I'm sure there's a few since today's January 1st. Happy and healthy New Year. Hopefully, y'all made it home safe last night.
I totally agree, and so if you did drink and drive and you made it home, well, don't do it again. Not cool, guys. Not cool. Okay, guys. So we're talking about the top stories in 2010, and you know one of the biggest stories, I think. I don't know if it's the top one. Certainly a huge, huge story, and that was Tiger Woods. The Tiger Woods saga, the Tiger Woods downfall. I mean, there was just, you know, we were talking earlier about the role models that athletes have, and Tiger Woods was the biggest example in recent memory of a role model just
a fallen
Fallen role model. I'm sorry. It's hard for me to multitask sometimes.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and take a lead on this for a minute. I can see both sides of the story. But me personally, Tiger Woods didn't have a... The only problem Tiger Woods had was a marriage problem. If he was a single guy, we never would have found out about any of those girls. It would have been cool.
Mm-hmm.
The only reason we did was because he was married. That being said, he was in a committed married relationship. If he didn't want to be in it, he should have got a divorce. That being said, as a sports fan, I really don't care what my athletes do in their personal time. Speaking of wanting to go back in the day, you didn't really hear about what athletes did in their personal time. I think we should go back to that. I don't know what your feelings on the matter are, Tom.
No, I mean, I agree. I think that that's a huge thing, and here's the thing: when you put yourself in that limelight and you put yourself in the middle of that, well, that's the life that you signed up for, and that's what you want. So when you get that going there. I apologize to the Ustream viewers. We are in the middle of a little bit of a technical difficulty, but I think we've got it fixed now. I realize that you guys were watching a video of Duke, and that wasn't supposed to be there. So I apologize for that. But you put yourself in that limelight when you join the ranks of the elite. It's like being the president of the United States. Really? Did Bill Clinton's extramarital affairs have anything to do with his ability to govern? I don't know. This isn't a political show, so we don't want to get into that aspect of it. But no, it didn't. But the point being is he lied to the American people. The trust has been put in you as a professional athlete. You have certain responsibilities, and with great power comes great responsibility. So, although it had nothing to do with his golf game, it had everything to do with his character. And like I said, let's bring back character. Let's bring back good role models. And here's the thing: I'm sure that everybody knows Babe Ruth was a womanizer and a drinker, but when it came to the field and when it came to different other situations, Babe Ruth was out there and was a role model. And maybe not always the best, but at the same time, the age of today's media, as opposed to the media then, is completely different. The New York media now and the New York media then is completely different. Now, we do have a soundbite on the Tiger Woods saga, so we certainly want to make sure that that we play that. Do you have any other thoughts on Tiger Woods there while we load the soundbite there, Josh?
I just, as a sports fan, I don't really care if they do in their personal time. I'm not big on them being a role model. If the Red Sox sign 25 guys with questionable characters, they win the World Series and whatever they do in their time, so I'm not really big on caring what my athletes during their personal time. But I understand where some people are.
That's what I think, Josh. You know what? Here's the thing, and Josh, I'm gonna pick on you for a minute, but that's all right. This is what we're here to talk about. It is your responsibility to be a role model. It is absolutely your responsibility to be a role model. Why do you think the little kids wear your jerseys, pin your posters up on their wall? They want to be like you. Now, if you've got a kid, I know you're not a father, but I've got a child, and I'm sure I can speak for a lot of parents out there. Do you want your kids to sit back and say, hey, I want to be like that guy? Do you think that what they're saying is, I want to be like that guy because he's the greatest sports athlete of all time? Or are they saying he gets the women, he gets the booze, he gets the lifestyle that goes along with it?
I think it's a little bit of both. But I think their responsibility as a role model ends when they walk off the playing surface.
Well, I guess that we can agree to disagree on that one, on that particular one. So what we're going to do now is we're going to go to Tiger Woods' soundbite, and Ustream, you should be able to see the video as well.
I am deeply sorry for my irresponsible and selfish behavior.
The public apology is an art.
I hurt my wife, my kids, my mother.
Especially for the prominent husband caught straying. Whether Tiger Woods did it right is now up for debate. But clearly, there's a wrong way to do it.
I spent the last 5 days of my life crying in Argentina.
South Carolina Governor Mark Sanford cried, but for his Argentine paramour. His wife has filed for divorce.
I made a very serious mistake.
In his public mea culpa, John Edwards wanted it clear his affair happened while his wife Elizabeth's cancer was in remission. They are now separated.
The same boundaries that apply to everyone apply to me.
Yes. Tiger Woods was used to pressure moments on television.
And no one can take the heat like Tiger Woods.
But nothing like this, with his marriage to Elin Woods on the line.
And I am the only person to blame.
You could have heard a pin drop in the room.
Nota Begay has known Woods since they were kids. Golf teammates at Stanford both play on the PGA Tour today. Begay had a front row seat for the Woods apology.
Then he hugged you.
Yes.
What was that like?
It was just, you know, good friend to one good friend, true friend. You know what? I'm supporting you. I'm here with you, and not just him, but his wife and his family.
Woods has to win back his family, his fans, and his good corporate name. His behavior cost him many of his sponsors, who once paid him millions of dollars a year.
I am also aware of the pain.
Dan Beeman, a sports marketing consultant, says women consumers are especially turned off.
Is a woman going to buy her husband a Nike hat or outfit if they think that Tiger is so closely associated with him?
Tiger Woods is unsure when he'll return to golf, but he knows his apology is only the first step.
I owe to those closest to me to become a better man.
Nobody's obligated to forgive him for what has gone on. And the only way we're going to be able to tell that is through his actions over the next few years.
Okay, well, you know, and there again, Tiger Woods has obviously made a comeback, just like Michael Vick, and we've got him down as one of the top stories as well to talk about. And we've got just a little over an hour and 10 minutes. Make sure you guys give us a call if you want to talk about the top sports stories in 2010, 917-889-8516 right here on Blog Talk Radio. Ustream viewers, so glad that you're along. You can also chime in and give us your thoughts. We've got a poll up and running, so we want to hear what your thoughts are. Is it Butler in the Final Four, Saints Super Bowl, Tiger Woods, and James goes to the Heat? So let's talk about a little bit about the Colts Super Bowl, Colts Saints Super Bowl. What a good game. Go ahead. It was pretty scripted, wasn't it? That's for sure. So, you know, and he's got a good PR guy. But, you know, Gillette was the most recent person to drop in as an endorsement. So he felt the pain not only in his marriage, but also in his marriage to money. And he lost a lot of money. Not that Tiger Woods can't lose money, but he did lose some money. So moving on along, the top news and top sports stories in 2010. Colts, Saints, when the Saints go marching in. What a difference a year makes, and we'll get into that on a different show about the Colts, but hopefully that tomorrow they'll shape up. Now again, we're broadcasting live here in Indianapolis. We're two guys that like to talk about sports. So we love the Colts. We're in Colts country here. We bleed blue. But at the same time, we also understand that there are countless of other teams out there. And, you know, the Saints have a great Saints following, the Houdat Nation. Came in and got the job done. Drew Brees is no joke. He's the real deal. So what are your thoughts on the Super Bowl of 2010?
I I'm going to kind of tell a joke and then get into my thoughts. Ready to go, Drew Brees, by the way. Be ready February 6th in Dallas, Texas. We'll see you in Dallas. But great accomplishment. You know, for whatever reason, the last few years, I don't know. I'm a Christian. I don't know if God's trying to make New Orleans modern Sodom and Gomorrah. What the deal is, they've had hurricane after hurricane, other natural disasters. Been a really bad 5 years for the city of New Orleans. Hopefully 2011 will be better for them. But they needed something to feel good about, don't you think, huh?
Oh, I do. And I think that the Super Bowl did exactly that for them. They're a city that's just had their share of problems. And, you know, I just think that it's a sad situation for the city. So the Saints really give that avenue where the city can come together. And, you know, what a great opportunity. Not taking anything away from the Saints. I mean, they earned it. They played a better game, and they came and they're ready to win. So certainly I want to put that on there as on our top thing as the Super Bowl 2010. Again, you guys are seeing us right here live on Ustream. You can also follow us on Twitter under T-Balance and get the links there as well. But we're broadcasting live. We're going to be here till 1 o'clock this afternoon. We've got some bowl games to talk about later on in our second half of the show. And we're going to do nothing but talk about bowl games. Today is the day for bowl games, and certainly the Rose Bowl parade is today as well. You should have wore your carnation, Josh.
Yeah. Well, actually, we have 3 hours of bowl talk coming up. The first hour will be on Blog Talk. The last two will be on Ustream. So look quickly in the last 10 minutes. Hour number one. Any other big sports stories you want to talk about? Well, we are a sports talk show. We'd be remiss.
That's right, Big Ben. There again, I mean, can we? It's sad that our top news story, some of our top news stories, center around the controversy and downfall of character falling and just total mishap and lack of judgment.
Tom may have a little soundbite to play after I give my opinion on the Ben Roethlisberger story.
I don't have a soundbite for Ben Roethlisberger. The Balance production team let me down on that one, so I'm sorry. So go ahead. I can try to find his one, I guess.
Ben Roethlisberger, how could you? Tiger, it's all right. This is all consensual. That makes it okay.
Mm-hmm.
Roethlisberger, you got accused of rape.
Got accused. Now, keep in mind, now, again, I'm not taking sides here. Now, don't you guys come up on the air here and say, hey, Tom, you're defending a rapist. No, that's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is it became very, very apparent in those situations. It was lack of poor judgment, and it looked to me like, and again, I wasn't privy to all the case files, but it looked to me like, quite frankly, that it was more of women trying to extort and blackmail Ben Roethlisberger for money, because when the money was shown, amazingly, they disappeared.
I think Roethlisberger's a moron. Start with the motorcycle accident. First of all, he's riding without a helmet.
Mm-hmm.
If we have any motorcycle riders in our audience, put on a helmet. Do your wife and your kids a favor and put on a helmet. Get accused of rape one time. Okay, I'll buy the whole extortion. Twice, I'm buying it a little less. But the third time, okay, I'm not buying it anymore. I don't know what did or didn't happen in that bathroom. Something did. I don't have kids yet, but when I do, they're not allowed to wear a Roethlisberger jersey, period. End of discussion. They can wear a big jersey, they can support Tiger Woods, they're not allowed to support Roethlisberger. If he did get away with rape, and I'm not saying he did, he got lucky. Roethlisberger needs maybe be suspended. I thought he should have been suspended for the year. Get some help. Get his head on straight. He got away with it. Let's say he won't try it again.
Well, here's the thing. There again, did he or did he not? I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I'm not a judge in the case. I just know that there wasn't enough evidence to prosecute him. I hope, Ben Roethlisberger, I hope that you can get your act together. You're certainly one of the great quarterbacks, but at the same time, you have had a total mislap of judgment. And there again, and I agree with Josh, if he in fact did rape those women, he doesn't need to be on the football field. But the evidence wasn't there, and so we have to move on. We have to go with the evidence that's in front of us. Now, that's my opinion. But we do want to hear your opinions. Give us a call on your thoughts on the top sports stories in 2010, 917-889-8516, 917-889-8516. We'd love to hear from you right here on The Balance on our New Year's Day Blitz.
The last story that I want to talk about is a little personal for me, Tina. I know one of the players. Till Thursday, the last time UConn lost was back in April 2008. Mm-hmm. I was only 23 years old. Mm-hmm. 26 now, so that's... I'm the young guy here on The Balance. But I happen to know Kelly Ferris. What an awesome accomplishment. Just like with the UCLA Bruins, here's a little bit of tribute. The last team to beat UCLA before they won their 88-game winning streak was Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm.
The team that ended it was Notre Dame. The last team to beat UConn before they started their streak was Stanford.
Mm-hmm.
And Stanford ended it.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the four longest streaks, talk about volleyball, men's basketball, women's basketball, and football, Notre Dame ended UCLA men's basketball streak and the Oklahoma football streak. Stanford ended the UConn Lady Husky streak and the Penn State Nittany Lions 110-game volleyball match-winning streak. A little bit more tribute for you here on The Balance. Not many people probably aware of that.
Josh, $2 bill, Josh, and his $2 bill thoughts, which, by the way, we want to take some time to push your blogs. You give a blog, and we're going to start posting them on Blog Talk Radio as well. But you can catch us online, www.thebalanceonline.com. Click the blogs and go to $2 bill thoughts. And Josh is inundated with see, we give you $2 bills just because it's a little bit more than 2 cents worth. Hey, welcome, guys. Happy New Year to you. If you're just joining us right here on Blog Talk Radio, so glad that you're here with us. My name's Tom. Right alongside me is $2 Bill Josh. We're in the middle of our New Year's Day Blitz. We're going to be here live till 1 o'clock. We're only going to be live on Blog Talk Radio until 11 o'clock, and then after that, we'll be on Ustream until 1 o'clock. So we are currently live on Ustream. Remember, you can also jump in our chat room as well. That we've got open, and you can answer our poll there on Ustream. Love to see you, and hope that you guys are enjoying this new form. We finally got some of our kinks worked out with Ustream, and we're good to have you, and YouTube, and then right after the show, you guys will also be able to download the full show, the full 4 hours on iTunes, put it in your podcast, listen to it all day long. And, you know, then at least then they won't have to see your face there, Josh.
Any other sports stories you want to talk to for schedule to transition into 3 hours of ball coverage here in just about 2 minutes?
In just about 2 minutes. Well, you know, I think that we talked about the Lakers and LeBron James. One thing I do want to do, guys, here, and I apologize for my Ustream, guys, you can't hear this, and I do apologize, and we'll try to get that uploaded for you. But I put together a little soundbite on the LeBron James thing. Back when we aired this here on The Balance, we aired it on the wrap-up yesterday. And then what I'm going to do here real quickly, and then on the other side of this, we'll jump into the thing. So here's what's going to happen, guys. And Ustream, we're going to just take a momentary pause while we catch up with some commercial breaks and some stuff that needs to be done on Blog Talk Radio. What we're going to do is we're going to go to LeBron James. It's going to take us into the top two sports stories of 2010, and then we're going to go to a commercial break, and then we will be back on that. So Without further ado, LeBron James returns to Cleveland.
What should I do?
What should you do?
Is it even a question?
Just selfish.
Miami.
You leave us?
You're a quitter.
What happened to Sam?
You bagged out.
Maybe I should just disappear.
Should I remind you that I've done this before?
Yeah, we know.
Boston, Game 5. Hey, watch. You quit.
Should I really believe I ruined my legacy?
Legacy?
Traders don't leave legacies.
When things get difficult, you run. That's your legacy.
Should I have my tattoo removed?
Yeah.
What should I do? What should I do? What should I do?
You should throw it in our faces on national television. Thanks.
What should we do, LeBron?
What should we do?
Seriously, what should I do?
What should we do?
You could have told us before the last week of free agency you were leaving.
You're a backstabber, LeBron.
Should I be writing this down? Should I be who you want me to be?
We wanted you to be who you said you'd be.
I got a goal, and that's a huge goal, and that's to bring an NBA championship here to Cleveland, and I won't stop till I get it.
2010 was a rough year for Tiger Woods. The best player in golf, mired in a scandal of marital infidelities, got divorced, lost his number one world ranking, and didn't win a single PGA tournament. Drew Brees led the Saints to a 31-17 victory over the Colts in the Super Bowl. Brees completed 32 of 39 passes, two of them for touchdowns, and was named the game's MVP, as New Orleans won its first NFL title. Brett Favre came back for a second season with the Vikings, but it didn't go nearly as well as the first. The three-time league MVP reportedly admitted leaving voicemails for former New York Jets game hostess Jen Sturger, but Favre denied sending her lewd photos. His NFL record streak of 297 consecutive starts ended thanks to a shoulder injury. And the Vikings, thought to be Super Bowl contenders in August, fell out of contention early in the NFC North. Michael Vick became a starter once again and enjoyed success with Philadelphia. In his first 11 games with the Eagles, Vick had thrown for 20 touchdowns and run for 8 more. In college football, Alabama won its first national title since 1992 with a 37-21 triumph over Texas in the BCS championship game. Bama's arch rival Auburn went undefeated to land a berth in the 2011 BCS title game against Oregon. Tigers QB Cam Newton accounted for 49 touchdowns and won the Heisman Trophy. But there were questions surrounding Newton as allegations surfaced that his father violated NCAA rules. The Lakers made it two in a row. Kobe Bryant and company rallied past Boston in Game 7 to win their second straight NBA championship. It was the Lakers' 16th title. Big-name NBA free agents were on the move in the summer. The biggest, LeBron James, upset fans in Cleveland by leaving the city where he played for seven seasons for Miami. The Heat also signed Chris Bosh, who joined Miami's All-Star guard Dwayne Wade to form a formidable Big Three. In a thrilling NCAA final, Duke held off Cinderella Butler to win its fourth national championship. Women's college hoops saw the UConn Huskies go undefeated for a second straight season. UConn beat Stanford for its seventh NCAA title. The Giants delivered San Francisco its first World Series championship as they beat Texas in five games. In the year of the pitcher, there were six no-hitters, including Roy Halladay's gem in the playoffs for the Phillies. Nationals rookie phenom Steven Strasburg lived up to the hype, whiffing 14 batters in his big league debut against Pittsburgh. But in September, Strasburg had Tommy John surgery and likely won't pitch again until 2012. Roger Clemens was indicted for allegedly lying to Congress when he denied using steroids in HGH. His trial has been delayed until July. There was tragedy at the Vancouver Olympics before the games began. On the day of the opening ceremony, a 21-year-old Georgian loser was killed during a training run. There was success on the slopes in Whistler for Lindsey Vonn, who became the first American woman to win a gold medal in the Olympic downhill. Host nation Canada won Olympic gold in hockey, an exciting overtime win against the United States. Sidney Crosby scored the game winner as Canada won its eighth Olympic gold medal in hockey. Another year, another title for Jimmy Johnson. The veteran NASCAR driver made it five straight Sprint Cup titles, winning the championship in the season's final race. The Chicago Blackhawks won their first Stanley Cup since 1961, beating the Flyers in six games. Spain won its first ever World Cup, beating the Netherlands in extra time in soccer's marquee event staged in South Africa. The U.S. team made it to the round of 16, but fell to Ghana. John Klobuchar, The Associated Press.
Do you like what you hear on the Balance in Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance, Twitter, GBalance. You can also send us an email at gbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.thebalanceonline.com. Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
Childishly is an insult to children everywhere.
All right, and welcome back to the Balanced New Year's Day Blitz. My name's Tom. Right alongside me is $2 Bill Josh. Ustream guys that may have just logged on and joined us, you've probably been wondering why we haven't been talking. Well, we were on a commercial break for Blog Talk Radio, our flagship radio station. So really, to bring our Ustream viewers up to the thing, you guys are really watching a live radio broadcast and hope you enjoy it. Much like Mike and Mike in the mornings, although we haven't quite got their salaries yet, right, Josh? But welcome back. We are back right here on Blog Talk Radio. We're talking 2010 sports. We are we recap the sports there. Any last thoughts on 2010? That's right. The marquee event. That's right. Marquee Solutions, by the way. We do want to thank Marquee Solutions for what they do for this show and produce and put a lot of things together behind the scenes for this show for us. And they really help drive what you see behind the scenes. And Marquee Solutions, I tell you what, you guys have been great. And give them a call, 317-903-8063, and they'll hook you up with just some really exciting marketing plans and grassroots marketing plans for your business, for your websites, and can help you find some solutions to make money. So, you know, I certainly would give them a call, 317-903-8063. Well, here we are, 2010 bowl games. Welcome to segment two. The first of 3 hours of nothing but bowl games. We have nothing but bowl games after bowl games after bowl games. That's because, hey, the BCS allows there to be plenty of bowl games, even if it's the toilet bowl. Sorry, I can't stop with the sound effects.
Actually, that's a good sound effect. Are the marquee bowls. No, they're not all sponsored by Sam. But these are the best of the best. Nobody's paying money. Nobody's buying pizza, turning on the TV, turning on the radio, going down south to the games to watch the guys in the striped shirt. I'm sick and tired of bowl game after bowl game after bowl game after bowl game being decided on horrible, pathetic officiating. Tennessee beat North Carolina. They had taken away because North Carolina, I don't know if you've seen this, they ran 16 players on the field just so they get a 5-yard penalty and the clock would have to stop. And the referee allowed that. What type of game is this that you can run 5 extra players on the field just stop the clock so you don't lose? had the player in the Central Florida game. He danced and he got a 15-yard unsportsmanlike conduct penalty. So what, we're not allowed to have football anymore? It's no longer the football bowl game where we get ready to watch a whole bunch of football bowl jobs?
You said ball job? Did you say ball job? Josh, you just said ball job. Now, please explain to me why you would say ball job. Do you have ball jobs? I'm sorry, guys. We are getting way off topic, but you said ball jobs.
So that I may talk, squirrel.
Oh well, we're having a good time right here on the ball job or on the ball jobs. Actually, I agree. And, you know, I'm just giving $2 bill Josh a hard time here. You know, here's the thing. I have so many opinions on the BCS and the way that it's set up. I think that we need to go to a playoff system. I think that there needs to be a system set up, much like the basketball, same school, same teams. Even if you don't have as long of a tournament and maybe you don't put as many teams in there, but it's all about money. It all comes down to the money. Guys, we want to hear from you. 917-889-8516. We're talking bowl games for the rest of the day. Not ball jobs, but bowl games.
Can I get your opinion on why three teams stay out of state? So you have the last eight bowl games. They're not talking about the on-field play, but the officiating. Nobody shows up to watch the officials.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. I mean, absolutely. The officials have put bowl games in a situation to where it just makes it impossible. My God, just let them go out there and play football. Now, I'm all for keeping people safe, and I'm all for fair calls. But there comes a point when you've just got to let the players play ball, and that's kind of where I'm at.
Did you hear about the North Carolina game where the guy saluted somebody who apparently was in the Army? And the referee went, "You made the wrong call. You made the wrong choice." And he goes, "Okay, I'm sorry." And then he threw the penalty flag.
Oh, I guess that I had missed that, but that certainly doesn't surprise me.
Don't you think the referee should never allow the game to be covered?
No, I agree.
But moving right on to today's bowl game at noon on ESPN2 from the warm city of Dallas, Texas. The ticket. Featuring Northwestern Wildcats 7-5 out of the Big Ten, Texas Tech Red Raiders 7-5 out of the Big 12. Northwestern is coached by Pat Fitzgerald, one of the all-time Northwestern greats. I don't see him staying at Northwestern very long, and if he does, it's only because it's his alma mater.
Mm-hmm.
And Texas Tech is coached by Tommy Tuberville, the odds makers in Vegas, the geniuses that they are. Say Tech should win by 10 points. Something to keep in mind is in the last two games, Northwestern's given up 118 points. Do they have a defense? Do they have anybody on scholarship to play defense? And in the last two games, Texas Tech has scored 99 points. Today's also the first ever Ticket City Bowl. Are you playing to Washington?
Ticket City Bowl? I've got a lot of games on my schedule to watch. One thing I'm definitely going to watch is the Rose Bowl, but we'll see the Ticket City Bowl. Who again is playing in the Ticket City Bowl?
Texas Tech graduated from Northwestern Wildcats.
I tell you what, though, Northwestern, they are a good team to play, and yeah, I've always been a fan of Texas Tech since Bobby Knight went down there. But we'll save the Bobby Knight conversation for another day. Hey, my name's Tom. Right alongside me here is $2 bill Josh. Thank you for joining us here on The Balance, the New Year's Day Blitz. Ustream viewers, you are viewing our live radio show, and you've got an extra special gift for you. You've got our last 2 hours of the show all to yourselves here on Ustream, and we are so glad that you're a part of the show and that you can also download the entire show on iTunes. So feel free to give us a call. Just 917 I got to get back to that number there again. But yeah, just give us a call here on the show, and we'd love to hear from you.
Unwrapping the Ticket City Bowl a little bit. The players who watch for the Texas Tech Red Raiders: quarterback Taylor Huff, wide receiver Detron Lewis, wide receiver Lyle Leong, free safety Tommy Davis, and quarterback Jarvis Phillips. What do the Chiefs expect from the Red Raiders on offense? They want a lot of spread. They want to get up and down the field for fast. They're a team that averages about 40 points a ball game. They play very fast paced. On defense, well, when they actually have a defense on the field, they play the 3-4, the 4-3. They're not really sold on either system. You know, this Tommy Tuberville's first year at Texas Tech. A few years ago, he took Auburn to a 13-0 record and couldn't get a piece of the national title because of the stupid BCS system. How do you go undefeated in the Southeastern Conference and not be at least co-national champion?
Oh, no, I absolutely agree. Go ahead. I'm trying to work out some technical difficulties. That's the beauty of the people in Ustream, that the Blog Talk Radio have no clue what we're doing here. Ustream people get to see all the behind-the-scenes working. So I'm working out some technical difficulties. So go ahead and talk about some bowl games there.
You know, Tech plays in the Big 12. They play big boy football in the Big 12. Got Oklahoma. They had Nebraska, who's now in the Big 10, by the way. Welcome, Huskers, to the Big 10. Next time, don't lose to Washington on your way to the Big 10. For Northwestern, their starting quarterback, Dan Persia, is out with a torn ACL. When they were playing Illinois, might have been the week before, he was jumping up and down, running down the field, trying to celebrate a touchdown, and he tore his ACL. Bet he doesn't make that mistake again. So they're going to start a freshman quarterback, Evan Watkins. Their receiver is Jeremy Ebert, and they have a great safety named Brian Peters, who would look great in blue and white. The Colts need somebody to come in to replace Bob Sanders, because it's not the answer, so maybe Brian Peters will be. It's a great traditional football. What you want to see in a ball game, you don't want to see the Big Ten play Conference USA or play the Mid-America Conference. You want to see the Big Ten play the Big 12, the SEC, the ACC, the Pac-10. No, it didn't include the Big East because they're kind of a joke of a conference. So I think it's what you could hope for in the first ever Ticket City Bowl. You got Big 12, Big Ten. Big Ten Conference runs into Big 12 territory, vice versa. The two conferences basically border each other. Any thoughts on it, Tom? So from that point, you got two of the best conferences in college football going at it in Dallas, Texas. Dallas is a beautiful city. It should be a great location. They're playing at the fairgrounds because Cotton Bowl had to be moved for a year, so that wasn't available. You should see lots of passing. Both teams like to throw the football a lot. So it's going to come down to who has the better run game. Who can run the football effectively and keep the other offense on the sideline? You know, the opposing quarterback can't hurt you when you stand on the sideline drinking a cup of coffee or a bottle of water, whatever he's drinking over there on the sideline. And this is a cliche, turnovers. Who comes up with the most and turns it over the fewest? You know, to win any football game, you need five things. You need to win the line of scrimmage on offense, win the line of scrimmage on defense, run the football, stop the run, and win the turnover battle. Whichever team can accomplish those five things is going to win the Ticket City Bowl. Pretty much every other bowl game and every other football game ever played. You know, with the being in Dallas, it's a little bit shorter trip for the Texas Tech Red Raiders from wherever Texas Tech is in Texas. Northwestern's coming all the way from the big city of Chicago.
Okay, Well, thanks, Josh. And Roger, I think you could probably hear me now. We have to share a mic. I had a mic go dead on me. So thanks for that input, brother. My good brother, Roger Dodger. Trying to get him on the show. Roger, give me a call, 917-889-8516. He has he let us know that we had a dead mic. So
I'm glad that he did that.
Roger Dodger is a guy that plays in our fantasy football league. He was listening to the show and informed me that we had a dead mic, and I did not know that. So I appreciate your super duper input there. So hopefully we can get him on the show here real soon. So, well, welcome to Bowl Game 2010. Ustream viewers, we're glad that you're on board with us. We're doing nothing but talking about bowl games for the next 3 hours. We're going to saturate you with all kinds of bowl game information.
I'd like to get it right. Welcome to New Year's Day Bowl Games 2011, not 2010. Tom still doesn't want to leave 2010. It was a great year for him.
It was a great year for me. You're right. I got married in 2010. February 2nd, 2010, I got married. So it was the best year ever, right?
Yeah, so you can't blame Tom for wanting it to stay 2010 forever.
That's right, guys. We've got about 37 minutes left right here on Blog Talk Radio. Make sure you give us a call, 917-889-8516. And we'll talk football. We're going to talk bowl games. And, guys, right, just keep in mind, right after we get done here on the Blog Talk Radio portion of it, we'll be broadcasting the rest of the show live right here on Ustream. So welcome, Ustream viewers. Welcome to 2011. Got the year right. 2011. So we've got some good bowl games coming up. Josh, real quickly go through all the bowl games that we've got today, some keys to the game, what's going on, and, you know, right after that I'll join you here, and we'll do that. So I'm going to give you the live mic while I try to fix the dead mic. And you guys there on Ustream, you guys are getting the extraordinary behind-the-scenes look of the balance. So make sure that you guys check it out.
By the way, make sure you tell your friends you get the whole experience here. You don't get the Mike and Mike experience unless, well, you do on ESPN too. But like I said, at noon you got the Ticket City Bowl. Stupid name for a bowl game. Although it should be a relatively good match between the Northwestern Wildcats and the Texas Tech Red Raiders, both 7-5. That's kind of the, let's say, the appetizer to the steak potatoes of the day. At 1 o'clock. You have the Outback Bowl in Tampa, Florida. For those of you on Ustream, you can see I have my Florida Gators hat on. As the 7-5 Florida Gators will take on the 7-5 Penn State Nittany Lions, Urban Meyer's last dance. I'm a huge Florida Gators fan. I wish Urban Meyer the very best in the future. Joe Paterno, is he ever going to retire? But the key today is, it's a big moment for Florida. You know, their next head coach, Will Muschamp's going to be in attendance. Last year, Urban Meyer retired. He unretired. This year, he's retired. And I guess this year, Florida's not getting him the chance to unretire. They've already hired his replacement, like 2 days later. The key for that game is Florida going to feel the pressure? Urban Meyer's only been there for like 5 years, but he's accomplished a lot at Florida. And the Gators are going to want to send Urban Meyer out a winner. Is the pressure going to get to him? We'll get more into that bowl game here in a little bit. That's the key to that game, is pressure. Also at 1, we have the Capital One Bowl in Orlando on ESPN between number 7, Michigan State, and number 18, Alabama at 9-3. Key to this game is motivation. Alabama's angry. They thought they'd be playing for the right to defend their national championship. And in the Iron Bowl, the day after Thanksgiving, they were up 24-0 over Auburn and lost. For Michigan State, they're one of three teams to win the Big Ten championship. And they can't get in to the BCS because of some stupid rule, you can only have two teams from a conference in the BCS. They want to come out and prove that they should have made the BCS instead of Wisconsin or Ohio State. Feeling a little disrespected, like nobody takes them serious. So the key to that game is motivation. We'll get into that more here in a little bit. Also at 1 o'clock, you have the Gator Bowl in Jacksonville, Florida. It actually kicks off at 1:30 on ESPN2 between the 7-5 Michigan Wolverines and Dan Mullen's 8-4 Mississippi State team. Rich Rodriguez is the head coach in Michigan. I like the guy. He was successful at West Virginia. Key to that, I believe we have a caller in the air. We'll go ahead and take that call and get back to the Bolts in a minute.
All right. Welcome to the balance. Is this Roger?
All right.
Yes. Hold on just a second, Roger. I'm still playing around here. Is this Roger? Can you hear me?
Yes. The delay is quite cool.
You like the delay on that?
I apologize.
You can think the wonderful world of Skype on that, and us trying to multitask with different forms of media and trying to put everything together in the same time. I appreciate your input on that. Guys, on board with us right now is Roger Dodger, the foremost expert on fantasy football. Isn't
sure.
that what they say?
Okay.
Yeah, we're gonna give you that. Yeah. Although I must admit though that your foremost knowledge did not help you at all this year.
Well, no, that is true. I did not have a good year, and not in our league at least. I was pretty good in the other league, but this league was pretty sad. Yeah.
Yeah, and our league wasn't. And to bring our listeners up to speed, Roger, in my other league, not the balance league here, but the league that we're in at church. Roger was the reigning champion for how many years in a row?
Oh, I have two championships, thank you.
You have all the champions except for this year, correct?
He's been up 7 years now, so.
Yeah, he is the reigning champion for the last 7 years. So, real quickly here, what is your thoughts, Roger, on the top sports stories of 2010? What made the news? What do you think was the top news story of 2010?
We're talking sports here, right? Not regular news, but sports.
Well, you can throw in regular news if you want, but we're going to go with sports since this is a sports talk show, Roger.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. Gee, how can I say? There were so many interesting stories, but.
Do you want us to give you a few?
I'll talk about, what's really irking me lately is the fact that as we're watching, all these great football games, NFL games, and they keep this is what it's all about commercial where you see all the Saints fans jumping up and down after that interception that Peyton threw to end the game. You know, I'm like, okay, we get the idea. I mean, you don't need to keep pounding that.
Right. No, I agree. I agree with you 100%. And because we only have one mic here, I'm gonna. I know Josh has a few questions to pick your brain about real quickly because we do know that you know it all on sports. Did you have a good New Year's Eve though, Roger? Did you do anything exciting?
Yeah, it was pretty good. Spent some time, got the new 46-inch TV going, and watched some movies on the new, high tech compared to.
Old tube one. Is that to say then that the guys get to come over to your house and watch the Colts game?
Sure. As soon as we get the renovation done, not a problem. Yeah.
Always an excuse with Roger. That's for sure. Hold on just a second. We're gonna give the live mic to Josh.
Okay.
Hey, Roger.
Hey.
So we're mainly talking about bowl games today, but I just wonder if you could take a few minutes to talk about the Colts game with us tomorrow, because like Tom said, we know that you know it all.
Oh, sure. Colts game tomorrow. I don't think it's going to be much of a challenge. I mean, Tennessee's been imploding for like the past 3 or 4 weeks. Everything that could go bad is going bad with that team. I mean, they're fighting with each other. People are getting, in trouble for saying stuff and throwing pads in the stands and all that kind of stuff. So... yeah, it's. I think they were pretty much done. So I think Colts should lock it up tomorrow.
Jeff Fisher survivor. Is Jeff Fisher done in Tennessee?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Do you think Jeff Fisher survives in Tennessee, or is he finished?
Ooh. That's tough. He has a good history there, so I'm not, I don't know. I mean, that's a tough one. I'm sure they'll look around to see who's out there, but I don't think they'll fire him after tomorrow. But I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know. I think he's probably got one more year in him, maybe. And then if they don't do anything next year, then he'll probably be done.
I would agree, unless Bill Cowher happens to be interested in the Tennessee Titans, I might get him fired.
Yeah, I don't know. I see Bill, if he's interested, I don't think it would be in Tennessee. There's some other coaches who have lost their jobs lately, and I think he would like maybe Dallas is where I see Bill going, if he's interested.
I think he'd be perfect for Dallas because he's the type of coach that would tell Jerry Jones to go back to the owner's box.
Right.
But which running back would you start tomorrow for the Colts? We seem to have three good ones. I don't know if Adai's healthy.
All right. Well, I mean, if Adai's healthy, you know, go with him. But he only got, like, what, 5 or 6 carries. Of course, one was for a touchdown last week. But, I mean, Donald Brown's been doing a lot better these past couple games. He actually looks like a running back for a change instead of a, you know, guy who gets up there and hits the line and then just falls over. So, yeah, he's been actually getting some yards, so I'd say, you know, if he stays hot, stay with Donald Brown.
Agreed. So you think it'll be a blowout or you think it'll be a close game tomorrow?
Well, I mean, at Tennessee, they always have some tricks up their sleeves that they like to try against the Colts. So, I mean, I don't think it'll be a blowout, but I think Colts should have the lead at the beginning and hold on to it. And, you know, once we get Tennessee into the pattern of throwing all the time, you know, that plays right into the Colts' hands. Take, you know, their big-time running back Johnson out of the game, and we should pretty much have him.
Is there any particular bowl game you're looking forward to watching today, or are you going to watch any bowl games?
Bowl games, I'm really not that big of a college football dude. I mean, I'll watch some, you know, usually I'll watch the championship game, college football, I really don't watch a lot of college football. So that's not my expert area, sorry.
What do you think about Sam Bradford and the 7-8 St. Louis Rams?
They're looking pretty good. I mean, I don't know. I mean, with looking who's in the NFC, with Philadelphia, who's on fire, like they could, except for last week, and, you know, the other big teams that are in there, Chicago's doing awesome. You know, I mean, I really don't see the – you know, Rams going really far in the playoffs because they just, you know, there's too many better teams right now. In a few years, it's awesome. But, yeah, right now, they've made the playoffs, but I really don't see them going very far. That's my opinion.
I would agree with that. What about you, Tom? Do you think the Rams will do anything in the playoffs?
Actually, I think the Rams are going to beat the Seahawks. I really do. I think that the Rams have proven themselves to be a pretty good dominant team. Not dominant may not be the right word to use, but they certainly have been a good team. Sam Bradford has put things together on that as well. So, Roger, what's your Super Bowl pick? You may have already talked about that with Josh, but what's your Super Bowl pick?
Super Bowl. Well, unfortunately, it looks like the Patriots are going to be in there the way they've been playing lately. I mean, they're just too strong, too solid of a team. I don't think anyone can touch them in the AFC. NFC is a toss-up. I mean, I was just looking, and it looks like Vic is going to be out Sunday. Of course, it'll just be a rest day, too. But, Philadelphia would be my guess for the NFC. AFC is, I think, going to be New England. I don't think anyone can touch them in the AFC.
So you think New England, you think it'll be a Patriot-Eagles Super Bowl, Michael Vick back in the Super Bowl with Tom Brady, a lot of storylines there. I think Philadelphia has the opportunity to get there. Obviously, I agree with you 100% on New England. They're just an unstoppable force. But I think in the NFC, we'll see some teams that'll start to emerge here in the playoff system. And you know, I really would not be surprised if we don't see a New England Atlanta Super Bowl.
True.
I think that could be a Pia, very good one. Real quickly, what are your picks for the National Championship and in the Rose Bowl tonight? Although that's not one in the same game, but
yeah, who's playing in those?
Who's playing in the Rose Bowl? I understand you just have a limited, narrow ability of knowledge.
Pretty
there.
Much, yeah.
Wisconsin and Texas here. in the Rose Bowl.
Okay.
Nope. I said Texas Christian, Wisconsin and Texas Christian in the Rose Bowl, and in the national championship is who's the national championship?
Oregon and Auburn.
I got to go with Oregon in the national championship. I've seen a few of their games. They're just on fire. Auburn, yeah, they can be tough, but I think the Mighty Ducks are just going to buckle down and get it done.
You think Duck Power's going to...
Yeah. yeah, I think it's going to be... Yeah, the Mighty Ducks all the way in that one. Boy, as for Wisconsin and Texas Christian, that's pretty much a toss-up. I mean... Texas Christian is ranked higher, but I no clue. I guess I'll go with Texas Christian just because they're ranked higher. So, yeah, let's go with them.
Okay.
I think I've only seen Wisconsin play once this year, and I haven't seen Texas Christian play, so. Yeah.
Okay. And we'll see. We'll see how 2011 plays out. Obviously, it's a good time to start seeing how the new IU is going to be. What do you mm-hmm. think about Coach Kevin Wilson and IU?
IU's always been hit or miss. I mean, this is what the fourth or fifth coach they've had in like 6 or 7 years. They just keep rotating through. I think until they get some good recruits, it won't matter who's the coach. You know, until they get a couple good years behind their underneath their belt and actually make a name for themselves, you know, I don't think it does matter. IU football has never been really a powerhouse program, so unfortunately.
Right. Well, so, the unfortunate thing is that they're not going to get recruits without winning games, and they're not going to win games without getting recruits. So we'll see what happens there. Well, Roger Dowger, I appreciate you jumping in on us, and certainly appreciate you letting us know we had a dead mic. I think something went wrong with my splitter, and I just can't run down to Best Buy right now. But the good thing is with the Ustream video, we're getting meter reads just fine. So I think it's in the Skype split. Not sure, but I tell you what, you got Skype, you got Ustream, you've got the Blog Talk Radio, and then trying to merge them all into one thing. I don't know what. I think something must have happened in my splitter to Skype. But it is what it is, right?
Yeah, it is
what it is. All right, Roger Dodger, appreciate you joining us. You can call back in anytime. Our normal show is 8 to 10 on every Saturday morning right here on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you, Roger Dodger.
No
You're the man, brother.
Thanks.
All right, Josh.
Taking the lead there on the interview with Roger Dodger. He is the man of great esteem and knowledge.
Not a problem. I'm going to continue to go ahead and talk about some bowl games while Tom tries to figure out some technical stuff. Tom's on the show to give his opinion, technical, and adds, put somebody on camera that people might actually want to look at, because that's not me and Kevin. But like I was saying about the Gator Bowl, Rich Rodriguez is getting fired one way or the other. I don't think that's fair. If he wins the Gator Bowl, he should be allowed to keep his job, but... And then at 5 p.m. on ESPN from Pasadena, California, the Rose Bowl. Number 3 TCU versus number 4 Wisconsin. It's a game I'm looking forward to. As I've said several times on this show, TCU beats Wisconsin. I'll stop bashing on how the Ohio State University president say this. The sisters of the poor. But when Wisconsin smashes TCU tonight, I also get to say that I told everybody so. I'm a little upset as a Big Ten fan. There should be a Pac-10 team in the Rose Bowl, not Texas Christian. They have had a great year. They're 12-0. So TCU wants to prove they belong. Wisconsin wants to prove they should have been given a look at the national title game. Fiesta Bowl at 8:30 on ESPN from Glendale, Arizona. Number 8, Oklahoma, 11-2 versus UConn, 8-4. Again, we'll get into this game more a little bit later on. Sooners want to prove the big game. Sooners are back. They're 0-5 in their last. They're 0-5 in their last 5 BCS games, and UConn wants to prove they're not a fluke. So that's the bowl games for today. So here in just a little bit, we're going to break them down a little bit farther. Going back to the Ticket City Bowl, my prediction is 38-35 Texas Tech. I like Pat Fitzgerald. He's a nice guy, great guy. Good Christian man. Not going to happen this year. Doesn't have the defense. He's playing with the freshman quarterback in the bowl game. That's like taking a rookie quarterback into the playoffs in the National Football League. He's a great kid. Smart. Plays hard. But you don't win a bowl game with the freshman quarterback. Certainly not against a Big 12 team.
No, I agree totally. This is going to be an exciting day in the bowl game, guys. Again, I'm so glad that you've joined us right here on Blog Talk Radio, and Ustream. You guys are getting ready to get 2 full hours of the balance. Blog Talk Radio. We are just narrowing down on the time that we are actually going to be able to be with you. And we appreciate all the listeners and everybody all across the nation right now that's listening to the balance from coast to coast. Again, New Year's Day Blitz. We're right here. My name's Tom. Right alongside me is $2 Bill Josh. Kevin's not with us today, and so it'll just be us, and we are breaking down the bowl games as they come down, and obviously there's the Tostita Fiesta Bowl. There we go. Connecticut. I know. I thought I could. No hablo inglés or no hablo español today, I guess. But so we're going to really break down the games in the second hour. But, you know, so we got a lot of exciting games. New Year's Day, what are some of your New Year's resolutions? Give us a call. You got just a few more minutes to call in live on the show, 917-889-8516. Josh, what are some of your New Year's resolutions?
I actually didn't make any. I took Jonathan Coachman from ESPN's advice. I didn't make a New Year's resolution because by January 5th, you don't forget what your resolution was.
Right. I absolutely agree. Or just said, screw it. There's always another year that comes around, right? So that said, I do. I'm excited about being a grandfather here in 2011. My granddaughter, Kalina Shea, is to be born in March. She's actually due on St. Patrick's Day. We expect her to make an arrival a little bit sooner than that, obviously to draw closer to God and family and the things that are important, make more money, and one of my biggest New Year's resolutions is we're taking the balance to bigger and better things, and we're glad that you guys are a part of it. Give us a call. Check us out on Ustream, YouTube. Of course, follow us on Twitter under T-Balance. You can also find us under Facebook. Just search The Balance, and we're right there with you. Also, you know, you got the Progressive Gator Bowl. We talked a little bit about that. Mississippi State and Michigan. What are your thoughts on that game, Josh?
Well, not getting into it too much at this particular moment. I'm anxious to see how Rich Rodriguez coaches knowing he's done either way. And will Jim Harbaugh be tuning in to see the team he'll be coaching next year? But when we get to 11 o'clock, just to give you an idea, we're going to tell you the games, tell you some players to watch, and then we're actually going to, I guess you could say, maybe this be more appropriate on Christmas Day, unwrap the games a little bit. Talk about the storylines.
We've got a lot of bowl games. We're going to get down into the storylines. Obviously, Florida, Penn State, you know, Urban Meyer, this is his last year. Florida's looking for a win. Rumor has it that Charlie Weiss will be down there. And I guess that what we're hearing here is the Gators are expected to use three quarterbacks against the Nittany Lions. And if Kevin was here, he'd certainly break down that game and say, go Penn State. But I think that, that Florida's going to come out with a win on that one. That game comes on at 1 o'clock there on ABC. Your thoughts on that real quick?
Well, everybody who's on Houston can see I have on my Florida Gators set. And it's not a rumor. Charlie Weiss is going to Florida. John Fox of Carolina Panthers is rumored to be the defense coordinator. And it's rumored that today's only Urban Meyer's last game as the head coach, and he could be the special teams coordinator for the University of Florida next year. That would still allow him to see his kids. That being said, it should be a great game. And will he, Joe Paul, retire after this game? There's been rumors that he will, but he's called those rumors ridiculous, but he's not actually said that he won't. He's been the head football coach at Penn State longer than anybody on the bounce has been alive. Long time, huh, Tom?
Well, I tell you what, he certainly is a legend in college football. He's one of the few coaches, if not the only coach, we will have to go back and look at that, but that doesn't even use a headset. And he gets his calls back from the old-fashioned way. So I know, Josh, you were trying to get this. Go ahead, Josh. I'm trying to.
Well, we have on college game day, so in case there's any breaking news. For all you Northwestern fans out there, the last time the Wildcats won a bowl game was 1948. I don't even have any idea who the president was then. That was right after World War II, right around the time Tom was in diapers, and I'm just giving him a hard time. But my most intriguing game of the day is TCU Wisconsin in the Rose Bowl. It's a well-known fact here on the bounce. I'm not a TCU fan. In fact, you can call me a TCU hater. I'm not happy they're in the Rose Bowl. They don't belong. But, Tom, what's your most intriguing game of the day?
Game of the day, I think, is definitely going to be that Rose Bowl game. Wisconsin, Texas Christian, good matchup. We'll see what happens. And I think Wisconsin's going to win this. I think that the Badgers have played some very good football. They've got a strong defensive line. They've got some big guys, and they're ready to play. So, we just got just a few minutes left here on Blog Talk Radio, and then we're going to be going live to Ustream. And you might see a momentary – I just want to let all the Ustream viewers know – you might see a momentary lapse or interruption. So just refresh your screen if we go away, and you'll see us again.
Once again, you got about 15 minutes left to call in. We'd love to have somebody call into the bounce real quick. Let us know what your most intriguing game of the day is. I was hoping Tom's son, Zach, was going to call in. I don't know what happened with that.
Well, he's in the Marines, 22 years old. It's New Year's Day. I'm gonna guess that he had some friends over, and it just got a little late on him there in North Carolina, and that's completely okay. Well, hopefully we can get him on the show if he comes on here, and soon we'll get him right on the air. Guys, it's been so good bringing New Year's Eve in with you here on Blog Talk Radio. What a fantastic time. You guys are the best fans in the world, and I tell you what, we're growing in leaps and bounds, and we are just excited to have you guys a part of what we do here. We're just so glad to have you as a loyal listener. Josh, real quickly, give our listeners some stories that we're going to be covering going into next week. Of course, we're on Colt Watch right now. We've got the Titans coming in town. I know you and Roger talked a little bit about that. Real quickly, in the last few minutes, just talk about some things that are going on in the NBA, the Pacers. We want to make sure that we want to touch on that briefly, even though we know we are dedicating this show entirely to the bowl games, New Year's Day Blitz, but we want to make sure that we bring everybody up to speed on the NBA.
Yesterday afternoon, the Pacers got another W. They're 14-17. They got some revenge against the Washington Wizards. The Indiana Hoosiers apparently have forgotten how to play defense the last few games. They got blown out by Ohio State, who may be the best team in the country. Me and Tom, as you both know, as you all know by now, are both huge IU fans. Kevin Wilson's bringing some great coaching, probably the best coaching staff Indiana University's ever had. They just hired their offensive coordinator away from Boise State. So for all you IU fans who finally wanted IU to run a unique offense, I'm not sure how familiar you guys and Tom are with the Boise State offense. That's what we're going to run at Indiana University. Put five wide receivers on the field, put a running back and a quarterback, maybe only go four wide. We're going to spread defenses out and make you pick the weapon you want to get beat by. Although before we can be successful with that, we actually have to have some weapons to beat you with. What's your idea? What's your thoughts on the? So, I'd be anxious. Email thebalance@ymail.com. Let us know what you think. Once again, I want to thank James for calling in yesterday. We're all excited to have callers call into the show. It's great that we have dedicated listeners. Some of you who never miss a wrap up or a balance. I want to see how the Spurs do this week. Also, this is the week the BCS starts. 1 week from Monday will be the national championship game between the Auburn Tigers and the Oregon Ducks. Today you got the Rose Bowl, the Fiesta Bowl. Monday you got the Sugar Bowl. Tuesday you got the Orange Bowl. Next Friday you got the Cotton Bowl. We're on Colts Watch. Anxious to see how the Colts do tomorrow. There's 9 playoff spots already taken. 3 more will be filled tomorrow. There could be a 7-9 team make the playoffs for the first time in NFL history. That needs to be changed.
All right, and welcome back, Ustream viewers. I know that there was a little bit of a glitch there, and we're so glad that you're back with us. Again, you might see some glitches as some of our other media operations leave us over the next few minutes. And so we just appreciate all those. If you're leaving us, just remember that you can catch us live next Saturday, 8 a.m., and we'll also be live right here on Ustream. And then we're going to be doing the wrap-up every day, a 15-minute wrap-up where we just break down. Now, those will not always be on Ustream, but we'll try to make sure that we get them at least recorded so forth for you. Because many times Josh, I know you can't be here in studio every day to do the wrap up. So a lot of times it might just be me here on Ustream if we do a Ustream thing. But we'll certainly have that. Keep in mind, also, guys, you can download the entire show on off of iTunes. The entire 4 hours. We have 6 minutes left. Give us a call back. Let us know what your New Year's resolution is. 917-889-8516, and we're getting ready to go right into some heavy-duty bowl games. We do want to make sure we get our last commercial break in. We're going to do that. We'll come back, and we'll just kind of break down what we're going to go into in the last 2 hours of the show.
Do you like what you hear on the Balance and Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, T-Balance. You can also send us an email at tbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.thebalanceonline.com. Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today. We'll be right back.
10 people and just get penalized all the way until we got to do something else, rather than play with 11 when I know that right now that person is not sold out to be a part of this team. It is more about them than it is about the team. Cannot play with them. Cannot win with them. Cannot coach with them. Can't do it. I want winners.
And welcome back to The Balance, guys. Final 3 minutes here on The Balance on Blog Talk Radio. So glad that you can join us. Make sure you jump over to Ustream. Go to our fan page. You can find the link there on Ustream. It's also on Twitter, TBalance. You'll get the link. You can join us right here on Ustream. And for the next 2 hours, we're going to be going live. We're going to be doing nothing but bowl games and talking nothing about bowl games and really unwrapping it and doing the storylines and really understanding the bowl games that are getting ready to go underway. Obviously, one of those is the Capital One bowl game, Alabama versus Michigan State. We've got the Rose Bowl today. We've got the Outback Bowl. We've got what other bowl games have we got?
There are 6 bowl games today: the Ticket City Bowl, the Outback Bowl, the Gator Bowl, the Capital One Bowl, the Rose Bowl, and the Fiesta Bowl. And I just want to remind all of our listeners, I was the first one to call on the show that Mike Singletary was going to get fired.
All right. Well, you know, Josh is usually pretty good on that. I want to know your sources.
I have different media sources and also just a product on the field.
So, and we'll see what else is going on. Keep in mind, guys, in exactly 2 minutes, we are going to be leaving Blog Talk Radio. Quickly get over to Ustream so that you can catch the full 2 hours on Ustream live. We'll have the links and everything. But just go to Ustream and search The Balance. You can find us in and look for our glorious mugs, and we'll do the next 2 hours dedicated to bowl games 2011.
Are we going to be able to take any callers while we're on Ustream, Tom?
I don't believe we will. So, but we can take internet. We do have our chat room open and our email and Twitter and so forth. So you can certainly send us your comments via that way and also on Facebook.
Well, thanks for tuning in to The Balance today, and please join us over on Ustream for Bowl Blitz 2011.
That's right, Bowl Blitz 2011 coming up right here on Ustream. And those of you that are leaving us on Blog Talk Radio, just jump right over on Ustream, and you will be able to catch up with us. My name's Tom. Right alongside me has been $2 Bill Josh. Make sure you catch his blogs on www.thebalanceonline.com. Click the blog, and you'll see Josh's $2 Bill thoughts. Plus, we keep you updated on all the games, all the scores on The Balance, www.thebalanceonline. Send us an email, tbalance@ymail.com. Follow us on Twitter under just tbalance, capital T and balance, real easy. And Facebook, The Balance. My name's Tom. It's been great being along with you guys. 2011 Bowl Blitz is about to begin in just a matter of seconds, so jump over to Ustream. My name's Tom, Blog Talk Radio. We'll see you guys again next Saturday, 8 a.m., right here on The Balance. Happy New Year, everybody.
Well, when you gotta go, you gotta go.
You have made me very angry. Very angry indeed.
Oh, son of a gun. You thought I was gonna say son of a, didn't you?
That's all, folks.